We are now recording.
We still have one more minute. Mr. Chairman, I now have 9 o'clock.
Thank you, Kurt. Go ahead and call to order this meeting of the Arizona Board of Technical Registration. Today is the 26th of March, and it is 9 a.m. So with that, we'll start with a roll call. Mr. Weber, if you'd be so kind.
Mr. Kaleka?
Present.
Mr. Sales?
Present.
Mr. Nesgood?
Present.
Mr. Gilmore?
Present.
Ms. Klett? Dr. Campbell?
Present.
Ms. Hobick?
Present.
Ms. Lindgren?
Present.
Ms. Skanky?
Yeah.
Mr. Smith?
Present.
Ms. Boho?
Yeah.
We have a quorum.
Thank you, Hayden. All right, next on our agenda is a call to the public. Members of the public may address the board during this call to the public for no more than 3 minutes. Pursuant to ARS, the board members are not allowed to discuss or take legal action on matters raised during an open call to the public, unless the matters are properly noticed for discussion and legal action. However, members may ask staff to review a matter or may ask that a matter be placed on a future agenda. Is there anyone here in the room or who is online who would like to make a call to the public? And I would remind you that if you are already on the agenda, you do not need to speak during this time. But if there is a gentleman who wishes to speak, yes, please come forward and state your name. You're going to need to hold down the microphone, that kind of walkie-talkie style, and you have to hold it. Yes. So again, if you could please state your name.
Nathan Pies. I would like to address the issue of firm registration regarding having a registrant on the firm registrant, but it's not necessarily the owner of the firm. I would like the board at a future time to address possible modifying the requirements.
Okay. Do you wish to expand on that at all, just in terms of any detail?
So, for myself, I was working with another firm. I was not the owner of it, but the firm registration expired, and so therefore I was penalized under my license. So, other states do not do the same as Arizona. Arizona is unique. Most states are individuals responsible for their license. But now I have to deal with 46 states. Sorry, I'm out of breath because I ran up the stairs. So I have to deal with 46 states reporting my disciplinary action, which is not a technical disciplinary action against me, but it's a firm registration. So I feel that you need to have a registrant on the firm, but I need to differentiate between a registrant and also a principal who owns a company. Because for me, if you own a company, you should be responsible for that firm specifically. So I've worked for firms where I was not a principal, but I was a registrant for them. So does that make sense?
Yes, thank you, appreciate that. Obviously we can't take any action on this as it is a call to the public, but we can always ask staff to pursue this further.
Mr. Chairman, I just have a question. I'm just sort of a clarification. Were you an employee? Is that what it was?
So I was an employee of the firm. We were doing work, and in the time the company I was working with, his father passed away, his mom, he didn't renew his firm registration. So therefore it affects me. It's on my record for 3 to 5 years, which is not a technical, but some states don't care. Like Oregon's a good example of they don't care. So,
thank you. And yeah, we'll ask staff to review the matter. All right. Any other members online or anyone else here who wishes to make a call to the public? All right. Hearing none, we'll go ahead and close the call to the public and move on to item 4 of our agenda, which is the adoption of the minutes, which includes the February 27th board meeting minutes. We did not have an executive session, so it's just one set of meeting minutes. Have the board members all had a chance to review the last month's board meeting minutes? I will entertain a motion to either approve, modify, or reject February 27th board meeting minutes.
Mr. Chairman, this is Scott Sales. I would like to put a motion forward to approve the February 27th, 2024 board meeting minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Sales. That's a motion. Do we have a second?
Chair, this is Jack Gilmore, and I'd like to second that motion.
Thank you, Mr. Gilmore. Any further discussion? All right, hearing none, all those here in the room, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Online, Dr. Campbell?
Aye.
Ms. Kanky?
Aye.
Ms. Lindgren?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? All right, those motions are adopted. Thank you. Again, Ms. Kled is going to be absent today, so we won't need to call on her. All right, moving on, item 5, consent agenda under licensing matters. Quite a large number here. Does anyone have any items on the consent agenda that you wish to pull from consent? All right, hearing none, then I will accept a motion for approval of the consent agenda. These are items, agenda items 5A1 through 5A8.
The chair, I can make a motion to accept the consent agenda for items 5A1 through 5A8.
Thank you, Mr. Gilmore. Do you have a second?
Bill Nesgood, I'll second.
Thank you, Mr. Nesgood. Any discussion? All right, so all those in person in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Dr. Campbell?
Aye.
Ms. Kanky?
Aye.
Ms. Lindgren?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? All right, consent agenda is accepted, approved. Moving on to item 6, licensing matters. We don't have anything on the agenda for this week, this month, excuse me. Same as well for item number 7, consideration of cases referred for formal hearing. We don't have anything either, so move on to item 8, which is enforcement matters. We do have 7 items under the agenda for dismissal, items 8A1 through A7. There's no one that wishes to speak for the board. However, there are a few attendees who are available for questions. If any board member has a question related to agenda items 8A1 through 8A7. Does any board member have any comments or questions related to those?
Mr. Chair, I've got a question. This is Keith Smith on 8A1, and I just wanted to ask Scott. I understand the work agreement had 4 inspectors listed on the work agreement. Is that acceptable, or do they need to be?
That is, well, that is a very good question. I have no idea off the top of my head.
Okay. Yes,
Kurt. I would just like to say that I believe there is someone here to speak on 8A1, the Clarks.
Yes, Ms. Ramona Clark. I think I understood that if there was a question that the board had, but if Ms. Ramona Clark would like to address the board. Ms. Clark, if you're there, would you please identify yourself?
So, Mr. Chair, if I may, just for purposes of the record, is the chair officially calling agenda item 8A1?
My apologies. Thank you, Mr. Donald. Yes, so related to item 8A1, this is case HR24-039, Brian Pemble, it's a home inspector, and Ms. Ramona Clark wishes to address the board. I believe she is virtual.
Yes, I am Ramona, and this is my husband, Paul Clark, and we raised a complaint against Brian Pimble's company, House and Home Inspections. I sent a formal complaint. I'm certain you will have the chance to read it. We had a home inspection, and an extensive amount of water damage was found, and we ended up spending $30,000 on home repairs, and this was just a kind of a gateway on how to address it, since the home inspector was not willing to file a claim for his
grossly missed
He had insurance, and he refused to file a claim with his insurance. He did offer to pay. There was also a cracked bathtub that he missed. He did offer to pay half of that, but as far as the water damage, he missed that, and I don't know what else to say. I'm sorry.
That's quite all right. We appreciate you calling in today. Since Mr. Cartel is here, he's our investigator. Mr. Cartel, perhaps you could give a synopsis of the complaint, just since we do have a representative here virtually.
Yes, sir. So the complaint came in covering the items that Alleger has already brought up. Throughout the brief investigation that I did do, I verified with Alleger's and respondent that our respondent was not the inspector for this particular inspection. He's the owner of the company and had contact back and forth with Alleger's. So we are opening another complaint to address the actual inspector. It's going to be a Mr. Tackett. We're just asking that this one, or that the board consider closing this one out by dismissal, since he didn't do the inspection, and then we would investigate further regarding the actual inspector.
Thank you, Mr. Cartel. Ms. Clark, does that make sense as far as what Mr. Cartel was just explaining relative to the individual that we are considering for dismissal here? It's the individual who did not do the inspection, not the actual company itself.
Yes, it does. I tried to contact the gentleman who did the actual inspection, and the owner of the company kept kind of blowing me off, saying he was on vacation, I can't reach him, he's on vacation, I can't reach him. And that went on for about a month or so, and then he offered to pay a portion of the bathtub repair, and then offered to actually file a claim. So I felt as though he was stepping up as owner of the company to address the situation, when in fact he didn't. And I was able to contact his insurance company, and they also said that they couldn't reach anyone at the company. I don't know whether they're operating out of their home or whatnot, but it was kind of a very misleading situation with the owner.
We don't know if the individual that did the inspection has his own insurance or is using
or
the
license.
Company yeah. as an umbrella company covering his insurance needs with Mr. Pemba.
Thank you. So given the fact that Mr. Pemba was not involved in this particular inspection, that is why his case is up for dismissal. So unless any board members have any other comments or questions, we can entertain a motion for dismissal for HI-24-039.
Just one quick question. Then when will we be subsequently invited to join another meeting in which Mr. Tackett is involved?
Yes, if an investigation proves that there is information warranting that, then you would be contacted by this board.
Okay, thank you.
Welcome. Can I entertain a motion from the board member, please?
Mr. Chair, this is Keith Smith. Do you want to go ahead and do the all 1 through 8 now? How did you want to do that?
No, just to do just this one, considering we were hearing this one, we can then do the next 6 as a separate motion.
Okay. And I'd like to make a motion that we dismiss HI-24-039.
Thank you, Mr. Smith. Do we have a second?
Mr. Chairman, this is Scott Sales. I will second that motion.
Thank you, Mr. Sales. Any further discussion? Hearing none, everyone in the room that's in favor, please say aye.
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 Dr. Campbell.
Aye.
Ms. Skanky.
Aye.
Ms. Lindgren.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? All right, that case is dismissed. All right, so then again, I apologize regarding a little confusion there on that first one. The next motion I'd like to entertain is a motion to dismiss agenda items 8A2 through 8A7, given that there is no one wishing to speak before the board on those items.
Chair, this is Jack Gilmore. I'll make a motion that we accept staff recommendation for dismissal. Item 8A2 through 8A7.
Thank you, Mr. Gilmore. Do we have a second?
Mr. Chair, this is...
Okay, Dr. Campbell beat you to it. That was just... Yes. All right, we have a motion and a second. Any final discussion? All right, those in person in favor, please say aye.
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 Dr. Campbell?
Aye.
Ms. Skanky?
Aye.
Ms. Lindgren?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? All right, those cases are dismissed. All right, moving on to agenda item 8A8 regarding Farm Specialist Mr. Richard Bertocci, if I'm saying that correctly. We do have an individual here who does wish to address the board. Mr. Winston Gaw, busy ledger. Mr. Gaw, are you online?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
If you please just state your name, and we will get to you in just a second. We're going to hear from our case assessor, our case investigator first.
Thank you. I'm Winston Gaw. I'm located at the Lord Scottsdale. Is an assisted living, the complaining AAA service to us in danger all our senior citizens and not doing the correct way and always having false alarm triggered even if there's nothing going on. I did submit a timeline from 2019 up to the last year. There are huge alarm triggers that they cannot resolve, and we are just renting the place, and we are caught in the middle, and they just cut our meal, did not accept our what do you call this renewal or something. They just shoved us away, and we don't know what to do. That's why we reach to your department, to your bureau.
Thank you. Thank you. We do have our investigator, Mr. Parrott, here, so if you would kindly give us a little synopsis of the complaints and staff findings.
So on November 7th, I got the case for investigation. It goes back about 5 years, both timelines. There is a leak, and there's a lot of service issues initially that are there. It causes about a $1,700 delinquency. Then that gets into a business dispute with that. And then between October 2019 and November 2023, there's multiple billing issues, alarms, service complaints, a whole bunch of that. In October of 19, there's four more entries with the smoke detector noise, and then there's a payment. Both timelines, both places submitted new timelines, and both of them kind of add up to that. But it's like whether or not the payment's made, there's all kinds of payment discrepancies, and then whether or not they would service. A lot of service entries from the guys that were out there stating that they smelled smoke or that they didn't service the water, that would be a city issue or whatever. They had some communication issues referenced from the respondent, where some of the staff went out to look at it and they had problems with the ledger. So they got into that. At the end of the day, the payment, they put him on a payment contract that turns into a big payment dispute over the last year. And then after that, they turn off the service. And then the complaints are here.
But in the case of this particular investigation, staff did not find any conclusion to draw that the respondent engaged in gross negligence, incompetence, bribery, or other misconduct as was originally alleged.
So yeah, we recommend dismissal.
Thank you, Mr. Perry. Does the board have any comments? All right, this item is up for dismissal. We'll entertain a motion.
Chair, this is Jack Gilmore. I'll make a motion that we dismiss case 8AA, AL24003.
Thank you, Mr. Gilmore. Do we have a second?
Mr. Chairman, this is Scott Sales. I will second that motion.
Thank you, Mr. Sales. Any further discussion by the board? Hearing none, all those in person in favor, please say aye.
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 Dr. Campbell?
Aye.
Ms. Skanky?
Aye.
Ms. Lindgren?
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
All right. Excuse me. Is the case dismissed? I'm not clear what's going on.
Yes, Mr. Gaw, the case is being dismissed for reason that the specific allegations related to Mr. Bertocci do not rise to the level of gross negligence, incompetence, bribery, or misconduct, which would have to be proven. And that has not been the case here. That's why this board is dismissing this case.
Well, what will happen to us? Because we are just renting the place, and then the contract was not renewed, and we are hanged. We don't know what to do. That's why we have reached out to you.
Yeah, unfortunately, this board can't provide any legal advice to you as far as next steps. All we can do is act on the case and the information that was presented. However, if Mr. Donald would like to add anything to that, I would welcome our Assistant Attorney General's input.
Certainly, Mr. Chair. I would just like to point out, for the benefit of the board and any potential complainants, that no action by the board forestalls any other legal remedy. So certainly the issue could be pursued through the civil courts if the gentleman believes that there are issues arising from gross negligence or fraud. Certainly you can take that through the civil court system.
Thank you, Mr. Donald.
Mr. Chairman, this is Scott Sales. Did we finish all of the voting for that
one? We did get through all the virtuals, and I did ask if there anyone opposed. There was none, so the case would be dismissed at this point.
Okay, thanks.
But I know that Tripoli is very big, but we are the one being victims in this.
Well, sir,
they put our seniors. We in that home it's an assisted living, so they always put our seniors at risk. And this is a serious matter. I don't know why it was dismissed.
Mr. Gaw, this case is dismissed for the reasons I described. You still do have the avenue of the court systems if you wish to pursue this matter further, as Mr. Donald explained. So, but at that, we're going to have to move forward. So thank you again for calling.
Thank you so much.
All right. We are tabling and not going to act on agenda item 8B1. So we're going to table that one until potentially our next board meeting. Moving on then to 8C1 and 8C2, those are complaints proposed resolution with signed consent agreements. We do have both of those signed consent agreements, and there is no one wishing to speak on those matters, so we could go ahead and entertain a motion to accept both C1 and C2.
Mr. Chairman, this is Keith Smith. I make a motion that we accept the proposed resolution with a signed consent agreement for HI-23-026 and HI-23-038.
Thank you, Mr. Smith. Do we have a second?
Mr. Chairman, this is Scott Sales. I will second that motion.
Thank you, Mr. Sales. Mm-hmm. All right, all those in... Oh, sorry, we have a motion and a second. Any final discussion? All right, those in person in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Dr. Campbell?
Aye.
Ms. Skanky?
Aye.
Ms. Lindgren?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? All right, those signed consent agreements have been accepted. Moving on to item 8D1, these are complaints proposed to offer a consent agreement. In this case, case HI-24-037. And I don't believe we have anyone here looking to speak to that. And unless any board member wishes to hear from staff, we would go ahead and make a motion to propose that consent agreement. Unless anyone does want to hear from staff. We'll entertain a motion.
Chair, this is Jack Gilmore. I'd like to make a motion that we accept staff recommendation to offer a consent agreement for HI-24-037.
And Mr. Gilmore, would you mind also adding to that that if not signed within 30 days, that we proceed to hearing?
And if this is not signed in 30 days, please proceed to hearing.
Thank you, Mr. Gilmore. Do we have a second?
Mr. Chairman, this is Keith Smith. I second.
Thank you, Mr. Smith. Any final discussion? All right, all those in person in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Dr. Campbell?
Aye.
Ms. Skanky?
Aye.
Ms. Lindgren?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? So the board has voted to propose consent approval, and again, if not signed within 30 days, we'll proceed to hearing. Okay, moving on to 8E1. This is one that is a complaint requiring some guidance by the board. This is case B23092. Mr. Carthel, would you kindly give us a brief synopsis of the complaint?
Good morning. So this is a fairly interesting complaint. So the initial complaint was on March 8th of 2023. The board received a complaint alleging that respondent firm is designing trusses without a responsible charge for respondent firm, specifically regarding the Pinnacle Peak and 23rd Avenue Building Type E Clubhouse project in Phoenix, Arizona. Was confirmed that that project is a commercial project. So the alleger in this case is the engineer of record for the project. He designed the framing designs and roofing designs for the project in question. When it came to the trusses, the general contractor, who was, Beckshar Contracting, they hired respondent firm, who is a truss framing manufacturer. Hired them to produce the trusses. Their process was that they would receive Mr. Sosnowski, or the alleger's framing designs, and based on those designs, a non-registrant designer employed by respondent firm would enter structural information into a computer software system that is specific to the truss connection plate manufacturer, Alpine in this case. The computer program is specific to that manufacturer. The designer enters the structural information into the computer, and the computer software system would generate a design. I was assured by the respondent and his the principal of the firm that the computer system has safeties in place that would prevent a design that isn't structurally sound from being produced. It was the first line of safeties. After that's produced, the design is then sent to Alpine, who's the plate manufacturer, connection plate manufacturer rather. They employ an engineer that checks it for soundness, and then sends it back to respondent firm, who in that point have a few more internal checks. At that point, it gets sent back to the general contractor, who then allows the engineer of record to review it and accept it or decline it. At that point, if it's accepted by the client and the engineer of record, then it is sent back to respondent firm with the instruction to go ahead and produce these trusses as designed. Once respondent firm gets that, they prefabricate them in-house and then ship them to the construction site for use. The concern came up when the non-registrant designer sent our alleger a question to clarify some of the information in his structural designs. He was asking what a KIP was. From what I understand, that's a fairly common term. Our alleger was upset because it became clear to him that the designer was a non-registrant and that respondent firm does not employ any engineers. He was concerned that it was not being produced under the responsible charge of an engineer. I did send this out to three assessors in this case, being that it was fairly unique. One assessment concluded that they weren't doing engineering services, but were acting as a framing company under what's reasonably accepted as the industry standard. The second assessor said he wasn't quite sure. The second assessor concluded that they were not doing engineering. and that they were in compliance with the current industry standards, as well as the Truss Plate Institute design standards, but that those standards may be in conflict with the Boards Practice Act. So his was kind of unsure. The third assessor concluded that they were, in fact, practicing engineering. With those three assessments, we did have an EAC meeting. That EAC meeting was interesting. Out of the four EAC members, it was split evenly. Two of them concluded that they were practicing engineering. All four did acknowledge that they are compliant with the current industry standards, standard of care for truss designs and, or truss production, and that they were in compliance with the Truss Plate Institute design standards, TPI 1 for short. All four of them acknowledged that they were in compliance with those. Two of our EAC members concluded that they were technically practicing engineering based on the fact that the non-registrant designer was inputting engineering information into a computer system, and that at least to some degree, the design that is produced by that software system is dependent on the information being inputted correctly. Our other two EAC members concluded that they were not practicing engineering based on the fact that it does have several layers of safeties, the safeties of the computer system. That was probably the least on the least on the rack as far as safeties, but the fact that it goes to it. Another engineer employed by Alpine, he checks it. But their biggest concern that was satisfied was that the engineer of record does view it and make sure that it's structurally sound and works with the overall design of the building. I was later on able to verify that our ledger did receive that back once the process was completed, and he did review it, and it is actually in construction now, I believe. So the process did go through, and our ledger did get a chance to review it before any construction was made. So based on those facts, there are other two EAC members concluded that it was not a violation. So the reason we're putting it for board guidance is that it's pretty evenly split as far as the assessments and the EAC on whether this is actually engineering or not engineering. And it's a little bit confusing because it complies with industry standard of care for truss production and with the TPI standards, but they may be in conflict with the Boards Practice Act. So we're kind of needing a little bit of guidance on whether we want to view this as a violation or possibly not. We do have one of our EAC members that is available for a phone call if the board would like to reach out to an expert with any actual questions.
Thank you, Mr. Cartel. Ordine, I know I was going to cue you up there, but if you would like to provide a little bit of history as well on any past cases where this issue has come up, along with what else you want to share.
I just wanted to share that I believe the owner is online, Larry Butts. But I'm not sure if you would like to listen.
The owner of the
truss manufacturer company, if you would like to listen to him.
I would like to, if the board is in that. Mr. Butts, would you please identify yourself?
Yeah, good morning. Good morning, board members. My name is Larry Butts. I'm the president of Erickson Framing, and we are the truss manufacturing company here in question. I'd be happy to try to answer any questions you may have.
This is Scott Sales. Is there anything else you'd like to add based on what Mr. Cartel had mentioned in the discussion or anything along there? And then also, I'll stop there to start.
Yeah, I'll just reiterate, as it was explained, we receive engineered plans or drawings from either architects or engineer of record or a combination thereof. If we're providing a bid proposal on a project, we, as he explained, we take that engineering specifications or whatever's provided to us, and we compile that information into a software system, and how that system produces a layout and a web design, cords and truss and anything unique and specific about wood species and those types of things. Truss connector plate sizes are provided through that software. Once that's completed, we send that design to, in this case, Alpine as the plate manufacturer, to say review, engineer reviews that design, make sure we're in compliance, and then we take that information and we return that to the customer, and then the customer in normal process takes that information to the owner who employed the architect engineer of record. They review it, provide a stamp or a sign off of some sort. It could be an affidavit, or they'll seal the actual layout and drawings and shop drawings that we provide, and then they return that to us. At that point, we move forward with manufacturing the trusses and provide them on site. We're not unique in our process. There are multiple truss manufacturers throughout the valley and through the country, candidly, and that this is normal practice. I know that's, you've taken my word for it, I guess, at this point, but it's a very standard practice, not just here in Arizona, but in other places as well.
Thank you, Mr. Butts. Yeah, I'd also like, just for context, if Mr. Winter would kindly read one of our rules related to shop drawings specifically related to this issue.
Certainly. This is Kurt Winter. So I'm going to be reading from R430304, Use of Seals, A8. Shop drawings that require professional services or work are described in the Act. Examples of shop drawings that do not require a seal include drawings that show only A, sizing and dimensioning information for fabrication purposes, B, construction techniques or sequences, C, components with previous approvals or design by the registrant of record, or D, modifications to existing installations that do not affect the original design parameters and do not require additional computations.
Thank you, Mr. Winter. Based on that, it sounds like this would be the function of that rule.
Cool.
Mr. Butts, would you concur with what Mr. Winter said, that the documents that your company produces would fall under those exceptions for not requiring this registration, seal, and signature?
Yeah, I don't know if I heard everything clearly, but I go out on a limb here, I believe so.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, Scott Sills. So having looked at all the information here and seeing the information that got passed back and forth, I'm not going to touch the, I mean, there's an industry standard, but there's also the revised statutes and all the rules that we need to follow. And that's what we're governed by up here, is to follow those. And if there's something if there might be a loophole that might need to be looked into. But in this case, seeing the information that was inputted and then provided to the engineer who sealed, scroll down here. Yeah, so the information that Alpine reviewed and really dug apart, and they are the ones that sealed the truss design and all the plates. So the information was provided to them. They tore it apart, reviewed it, provided their own inputs on it. They showed what this entire structure can take forces-wise, and that's what they sent back. And then, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe the alleger did sign and seal the drawings at the end of the day for the structure.
He didn't, if I remember correctly, he didn't apply his seal to it, but he did sign a statement on it that he reviewed them.
Mr. Sales, yeah, that would be what we would call a review stamp. So he's essentially reviewing the information to ensure that it meets the design intent as a delegated design to the truss manufacturer.
Yeah, but on all the information here, I don't see anything on this that would go to the level of violating any of the revised statutes. So welcome other input from folks, but I'd be prepared for a motion when if there's no more discussion on that topic to dismiss this case.
Sure, just one quick question. Maybe it's clarification. The respondent in this case received structural information from the registrant. Did the registrant give him sized members for all the trusses? And then he is just loading information. So he's not designing. He just, as it says, entering data.
So just for clarification, Jack, you're referring to the, as a registrant, the engineer of record, who is also the alleger in this case.
Correct, correct. Okay.
Best of my understanding, correct. We do have a copy of the roofing design made by a ledger for this case. Regarding the details of that, it's a little bit above my education level, but best of my understanding that you're not correct.
Yeah, my only question, clarification there was he's not really designing, he's just loading information provided by the registrants.
That's my understanding, yes, sir.
So that, I guess I don't see that as a qualification for engineering per the assessments.
I believe you're correct, yes.
To me, if the information, if it didn't go to Alpine to then do an actual review of the structural components outside of the computer program, I think there'd be a lot more discussion to be had here, but information was input by someone and then transferred over, and they had to then go look at this and said, okay, well, this truss and these plates can take this much force, and they said, okay, this works for this case. It was then sent back, and then if that information was wrong, I'm assuming it would have come back and said, well, you know, we said it needed to be 10 kips or 5 kips or that kind of thing. So it's to me, it all boils down to there was an engineer that sealed the truss and went back and finished up, so I don't see any violation of the ARS's sort of rules.
And just to add on to that, my own perspective on that as well is that no time is the health, safety, and welfare of the public at risk, given the levels of safeguards and processes that Mr. Cartel has mentioned, Mr. Butts has mentioned, and several of our board members have mentioned. So, unless there's further discussion, I would entertain a motion for dismissal in this case.
Mr. Chairman, this is Scott Sales. I propose a motion that case P23-092 be dismissed.
Thank you, Mr. Sales. Do we have a second?
Chair, this is Jack Gilmore. I'd like to second that motion for dismissal.
Thank you, Mr. Gilmore. Any further discussion?
Mr. Chairman, this is Scott Sales. Just want to just provide the opinion on the computer programs and that there's safeguards in place and everything. At the end of the day, it's the engineers that are reviewing and then sealing documents. So, I find the safeguards and computer programming kind of, I don't know, I wouldn't rely on any of those. If all it falls down to is the computer program is not sitting in one of these seats talking to us. It's the people behind here being able to say, well, the computer program did this or that. No, you have to check it by hand or however you feel comfortable as an engineer to find the information. So, anyway, that's just my, they're going to send that little opinion right there.
Absolutely, and I think that the processes by which, and again, it's not the computer safeguards I was referring to, but the process by which the engineer of record, the individuals who are monitoring this and implementing this, those safeguards are still in place as the standard of care is. Thank you. All right, we have a motion and a second. Any final discussion? If not, all those in the room in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Dr. Campbell.
Aye.
Ms. Skanky.
Aye.
Ms. Lindgren?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? All right, that case is dismissed. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Butts, for calling in. Moving on to item 8F, these are review and consideration for three individuals, two registered land surveyors and one registered geologist for EAC membership, which of course we're always happy to have our volunteer pool as part of that. Mr. Nesbitt, I believe you wanted to make a statement for the record.
Yeah, I'd like to vouch for Matthew Callahan.
But in this case, you're making a statement that you know him personally.
I've reviewed his work and stuff like that, so I know him.
But nothing that would raise to the point where you would have a conflict of interest?
No.
Thank you. Any discussion, questions, comments related to these three individuals? All right, well then, can we get a motion to accept these three individuals for EAC membership?
This is Bill Nosegood. I'd like to propose a motion to accept all three applicants for the EAC membership.
Mr. Nosegood, do we have a second?
Chair, this is Jack Gilmore. I'll second that.
Thank you, Mr. Gilmore. Any last discussion? All right, all those in person in favor, please say aye.
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 Dr. Campbell?
Aye.
Ms. Kinky?
Aye.
Ms. Lindgren?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? All right, well, our EAC membership has just grown by three additional professionals. We welcome them into the EAC family. That concludes enforcement matters, and we're going to move on to policy matters.
Mr. Chairman, if I may propose a short break and then come back for policy matters, 5 or 10. 10 sounds
good.
I guess, yeah. All right, it is currently 9:45, so we're going to take a 10-minute recess. We'll reconvene at 9:55 Arizona time. Thank you, everybody.